Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch on this bitch. And I want to give you the word because people have been asking about the one-man show. Man, I got to tell you something. We may take this thing bigger than I thought we would. We may launch bigger than I thought we would. We have plans that may include theaters. And as you know, because I've talked to a lot of you guys about this, we were planning on kind of rolling out clubs with the one-man show. But we are now contemplating the possibility of theaters, and that, of course, affords a larger venue. And I also think, you know, I don't want to come off, I don't think I'm, you know, some great artist, but don't you think it's a little bit more,
well, Phil, don't get high on your horse now. You're just starting out in this game, you know.
I'm starting out as doing a one-man show, but I'm just saying, don't you think I should have a little dignity?
Well, don't get all high on the horse.
Yeah, I just said that, bud.
She said that already.
Well, that's what you're going to get high on horse.
High on horse?
Yeah, heroin.
I'm not getting high on heroin. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what she said.
She said, don't get too high on the you meant hog.
No, I meant horse. Isn't it high on the horse?
It's high on the hog.
Well, I don't know. Whoever the pervert was that came up.
It is kind of perversion.
High on the hog is probably a saying that's got nothing to do with perversion. When you guys are talking about, you know.
Well, you're talking about mounting a hog.
Yeah.
No, you're not talking about mounting a hog. High on, in any event, so what we're talking about is you don't want me to get a big head about this thing, right?
Yeah, it's another perversion.
Bud's making some good points tonight.
You guys didn't have your mind in the gutter. I mean, right in the sewer.
I beg your pardon?
That's exactly what's happening. Everything you think of has got some sewer connotation. Oh, high on the hog. What are you, mounting a hog? Oh, and you're getting a big head about it. Hey, there's another one, you know.
You just went, hey.
Oh, man, do I want to hurt you?
Well.
All right, let's move on with some other news here. We also have coming up our very good friend Ron Turner, who is going to be debating, I should say, Vernon Dozier. Another climate change debate, which is so old hat, you know. I mean, the whole idea of a debate on climate change.
Well, I'm glad you're resurrecting it, because most people have forgotten about it. This tornado, which I was hoping would regenerate at least some discussion, I think people are just blowing it off. They're
Well, they got a lot more to worry about, Margaret.
Yeah, the whole town got butchered up.
I understand that, but I hope at the end of the day, the people in those areas will say, look, look what happened. This was the result of global warming. I hope they all do that.
And if they don't?
Well, what do you mean if they don't?
If they don't. If these people, these poor people, who got better things to do than to push a political agenda.
Phil, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying.
Wait, hold on. I hope at the end of the day they all fall in line here on the global warming thing or global climate change. And I said, what if they don't?
Well, then I think they have been very badly informed by members of the media such as yourself.
See, Margaret, they've got other things to do than to carry the water for you and your pitch on global climate change.
I didn't say they didn't.
All right. And if they happen to disagree with you, if they say, well, you know.
Well, what makes you think they're going to disagree? These people have been stunned. They've had an unbelievable event in their lives. I don't want to put it quite so simply, but it's almost like low-hanging fruit.
Oh, what's that mean, low-hanging fruit, like testicles?
What is it with you, man? She's talking, it's a saying that has to do with easy pickings. Boy, that's a hell of a thing to say about people that have lost their homes, and in some instances, a lot more than their homes.
All I'm saying is I would think they would be on board.
Well, they may not get on board. They may not get on board. They may not even see any connection. They may not give a damn, you know?
That bot thing, man, they won't see it.
He hit the microphone.
Robert, would you watch it hitting this mic?
Sorry.
Every time you move your hand, it's like, bang, you're hitting the microphone.
Don't talk about a guy having low-hanging fruit.
It ain't got nothing to do with what a guy's got in his jock strap. She's talking about something else. God. Ted Williams, by the way, folks. I don't know. How did we get on Ted Williams? We were talking about homeless people, I guess. I don't know. But I said, what's going on with Ted Williams? Ted Williams was the cat that was the homeless guy 2 years ago who was caught on camera on a videotape that went viral as he was panhandling for bread at a freeway off-ramp there in Columbus, Ohio. And he was panhandling for the bread, and he gave the person who was doing the videography there, Doral Chenoweth, in January 2011, he said, well, I'll, you know, he gave this commercial pitch, and it went viral on YouTube. He said, I'm an ex-radio announcer who has fallen on hard times. You all remember this Ted Williams guy.
Yeah, this guy is all crying with his mom and everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, 2 years later, the guy is still, he still has his job with Kraft. He has an apartment. What are you looking at, bud?
See, that don't...
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Why doesn't it make any sense?
Well, I don't want to be... You say.
I think that he should be homeless. There's no way the guy stays off the crane.
Yeah.
With the what?
Crane.
Off of crane.
What's crane?
It's crack and it's just...
But we were reading, and we thought, well, if there's crack in China, that's where we came up with it.
If there's crack in China, what, you were reading what?
Phil, don't get all snotty. We were reading...
I'm not getting snotty. I'm not getting snotty at all. You were reading what?
We were reading about crack cocaine. And Bud was saying, I wonder if they have this problem in China. And then Robert...
Yeah, I said, well, yeah, they probably call it crane.
And we agreed that that would be the name for it.
And were you making a joke?
Why do you think it's a joke?
Because that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Krang. Crack in China is Krang. Why Krang?
Well, I think it's obvious.
All right, so anyway...
You're just going to blow that off. Well, you've been blowing off a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be blowing off a lot of stuff tonight if that's the material you guys are laying on me. Krang. Golden Voice Ted Williams reveals new job foundation to help homeless. So the guy is still working... He still has his job with Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. He has his apartment. It's a beautiful thing, you know.
Dad gets up in the morning, just...
Gets up in the morning, goes down and does, you know, says, hey, macaroni and cheese, you're going to love it. Turns around, goes back home, and goes back to bed.
What a life, man.
Got that right. But now he has started a foundation along with his employers at Kraft Macaroni and Cheese, or just at Kraft, and it's called the Ted Williams Project. And it raises money to help the poor people in Columbus, Ohio. I didn't know this, but the guy was the number one drive-time disc jockey in Columbus in the 80s. That's what it claims here. And boy, that's a long fall, man. That's a long fall from you know, ruling the roost in a town as a morning drive jock. And the next thing you know, you're standing on a freeway off-ramp. And if you're lucky, you're selling oranges.
Yeah, that guy won't even sell oranges, man.
Yeah, that's how do you do that? You know, hey, are you Ted Williams? Yeah. I used to listen to you when I went to school. Yeah, how you doing? Have you got a quarter? God!
That's humiliating.
Yeah, I mean, that would, like, if you guys saw me, all you guys listening, and maybe you already have, though.
Yeah, that almost did see you panhandling.
When your chair broke.
Well, I would hardly say that that's panhandling. What, you mean when my chair broke on the video cast?
Yeah.
No, that's not even close to what this guy went through. My chair broke, folks. When we were doing one of our video casts, very, very early on in the video cast history, back in 2008 or 2007, and I was in the middle of a bit, a Margaret bit. It was Frank and you and me, and the chair just busted out from underneath me. And I wish to God that survives. We don't have any video cast archive prior to, I don't think it goes back much more than last October. One of the problems is the storage, but nonetheless, this man, Mr. Williams, has kept out of trouble. He had two relapses. He's got a good relationship with the mother that he so emotionally reunited with, as we all remember, a couple of years ago. He has had, continues to have strained relations with his seven children.
But I don't even remember what their names are on account of that.
Well, I don't know. Has become very tight with Matt Lauer. I don't know if he's tight, you know.
Well, what, is he going over to Matt Lauer's house for breakfast?
Would be cool if he's hey, Matt, it's, you know, Ted Williams. Yeah, I get it already. Oh, God. I bet you Matt Lauer probably bothers him.
Why would you say that?
Because I'll bet you it bothers him. You're Matt Lauer. You're the Today Show guy. I don't want to speak for you, Mr. Lauer, but you know, you put on the nice face for the TV, and now here's this Ted Williams banging on the back door, and he's got coffee and donuts, and hey, man, are you in there? You know, looking through the screen, and Lauer's probably like, when am I going to lose this guy? And
yeah, you're making him sound like he's a total butthole.
Maybe he is. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. We'll be right back. We've got Vernon Dozier and, what's his name? Ron Tarner coming up. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
I think you make Matt Lauer sound as if he's some kind of
Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know. Matt Lauer is, going to want to hang out with a homeless guy? I don't think so.
Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Boy, I don't even want to say, but some of these pictures out of Oklahoma, we have on our Facebook page, and I believe we also posted on our webpage. We did not. We have a couple of resources if you want to begin to help the folks there in Oklahoma with actual material assistance. May I recommend a couple of things? Go to the link we have on our Facebook fan page. That's Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS, facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans. And we have a number you can text so that you can make some kind of financial contribution. I also recommend the Global Charity Navigator website. I may not have that exactly right. We use that and we endorse it on this show. This Global or Charity Navigator website has a list of the most recommended charities after they've been thoroughly vetted by the people on this website whose sole interest is to assure you and I that our money is going to the people that need it. And so the Charity Navigator is the place to go, man. We found fantastic charities there for all manner of needs that people have. And if you're like me, and I don't think it's an irresponsible thing to wish for, I don't want to see my money go to overhead. I don't want to see my money going into salaries to keep the charity running. I don't want to see my bread going into that kind of stuff. I want to see it going. And what the Charity Navigator will do is show you exactly what percentage of the donations goes to the people in need and what percentage goes to their operating expense, etc. And so you can make the call and you can see. And they will, I guarantee you, they will have on their homepage recommended agencies for you to contribute to for Oklahoma. So it's called Charity Navigator, something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm looking up and find out exactly one.
We'll have the URL for you, and we'll probably have it posted by the end of, at least by the time we get our show lug up for tonight, and we'll announce it on the air, because I really think it's a cool site, and I'm glad that we found it. All right, let's go over here now to Dr. Ron Tarner there at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, you're going to be tonight talking with Vernon Dozier, who is an educator. How are you tonight?
Well, Phil, a lot better than I was the other night talking to that Jim Sadler, but I do appreciate the doctor's time.
How do you feel you did in that debate?
Well, I think I did well. I'm a little bit surprised by your question.
Why do you think it's?
Well, I think if you heard me and you heard Dr. Sadler, I don't think it was any contest. The use of the band. Now, I have to be very careful in what I say here. I very much appreciate you saying that I use the baby talk technique. I don't like to label it anything. It is simply a technique that tests the veracity and it also tests the knowledge of your opponent in a debate. And I think using this baby talk, I would rather not call it anything. I would rather just say it is the Dr. Ron Tarner debating technique.
It is the Dr. Ron Tarner, and by the way, Dr. Sadler tried it himself.
And with all due respect to Jim Sadler, I've known him for years. I haven't always liked him, and while I've known him for years, I will tell you that I wish that I hadn't known him for years, because there were whole 2-3 year stretches where I wished to God that I'd never met him. So and that's not a comment on him personally or his habits or his hygiene or anything. It's just him as a man. He's tough to know. He's tough to be around.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I just, listening to him, when he did the baby technique, you heard him, he was going goo goo ga ga. And that is so bad. That is such a poor application of the technique that I wanted to reach out and slap him, even though he was hurting his own case.
All right, well, tonight we have Vernon Dozier. Mr. Dozier is a educator. He is a member of the board at Belmar Academy. We're going to bring him on the line. He is over again at the he's at Pond Bozell, is what they call it. Earlier tonight we had David G. Hall there. Mr. and Mrs. Bozell are out of town with their two kids. I think they're visiting a family in Knoxville, Tennessee, and they've opened their property up to our broadcast this evening, using it as a site for one of our interview subjects. We have Vernon Dozier. Vernon, how are you doing tonight? Thank you for joining us.
I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
And so you're over there at the pond. How do you like it?
How do I like it? Well, it's nice. There's a bench here, and there's ducks. Actually, two ducks. It's very, you know, it's nighttime now, so a lot of these ducks and these lizards and whatever they got here have gone in. Indoor, they don't go indoors, but they've gone to whatever is indoors for a...
Well, Richard, Vernon, this is Dr. Tarter.
Yes, sir.
What you're seeing is they're retreating to, most likely, retreating to dens.
No, I understand that. I misspoke when I said gone indoors, but like humans, they seem to have gone inside for the night. I've seen lights go out. Well, I didn't see any lights go out. I imagine... And it's an interesting thing. As an educator, I try to communicate to the kids what your mind will fill in that you're not seeing. I saw a lizard go under a rock here, and I thought I saw a porch light go off. Now, that's a little funny.
Well, did you say you did, or you didn't?
No, I thought I did. Obviously, I didn't. There's no porch light. But I thought when I saw the lizard go, and I suppose I shouldn't, I guess this is making me look bad.
Well, it's an interesting thing. It's almost like you're seeing things. We all do that. I see things. I hear things.
Yeah, but see, now hold on, Fred. I'm not telling you that I'm hearing voices, okay?
No. I understand that. But what did you see?
I didn't see anything. I thought I saw a porch light go off and a garage door go down, okay? Now, obviously, I did not, because it's a lizard going under a rock. But there was such a commotion of little critters scurrying in, from the out of doors to wherever they go into. It could be just a dirty, filthy hole with some cheese or so. I don't know what's there.
But you're imagining they're going and sitting down at, what, a kitchen table?
No, I didn't say that, Phil.
Well, Vernon, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. You said you saw a garage door go down.
I imagined I saw a garage door. Can we just not talk about this anymore?
No, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not calling you crazy. I think what you're doing is, and it's something that people do, we're filling in, as you say. You've said it very well. We fill in the blank spaces with what we're used to, you know?
Exactly. And in this case, when I saw the lizard go under this rock, it may be the rock reminded me of something out of The Hobbit. So I was thinking, is he going
Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah, is he going into this guy, Baggins, who is neither here nor there? Now, I'm talking to my wife. And she's laughing, she's shaking her head and doing dishes, and she just looked at me like the saddest day of her life was when she let me take her off of that graduation stage over at Belmar Academy and put her into the my 56 Chevy two-tone, took her over to the Blue Moon Hotel, and made up for lost time, I guess.
Well, I don't know what that means, but...
What it means is... boy, what does it mean?
So you look crazy that night when you took her.
I did. I looked very crazy. I looked half mad when I took her off that stage. She was 18 years old. I just turned 50. And I was half mad when I took her off that stage and took her to the Blue Moon Hotel.
The Blue Moon Hotel.
I'm sorry, the Blue Moon Motel. Why is this turning into an interview of me?
Well, no, you're just an interesting guy, Vernon, that's all.
Yeah, I've spoken like a scientist.
Well, I tell you what, Phil, I'm all ready to go. And I do want to discuss global climate change.
Now, my understanding is this is global warming, isn't that right, Mr. Henry?
Global climate change.
Global climate change, all right.
And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will begin our debate between Vernon Dozier and Dr. Ron Turner I just thought, I'm not trying to embarrass Vernon, but he says he's sitting out there at the pond and he saw a lizard go under a rock and he thought he saw a porch light go off and a garage door go down. And, you know.
Yeah, he's not saying he's crazy. Just imagine what would that look like if a lizard had one.
No, he didn't say that.
Phil, don't talk that way. You're going to make him self-conscious.
He's already self-conscious. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
If I've got ducks around me, yeah, I'm not going to...
Okay, we're back here, and we're just talking with Vernon and with Dr. Ron Turner, laying down some of the ground rules here for our debate. Now, I can hear there's a lot of... So you're at the pond there.
Let me say something, Phil. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but I think the less time we spend talking about the pond, the better off we're going to be.
Well, just because, Vernon, I thought it was fascinating to hear you say that the lizard went into his house...
I didn't say he went into his house, and I wish you would characterize it properly. I said the lizard went under a rock, and I thought, and let me underline the word thought. I saw a porch light go off, a garage door close, and I thought I saw a cat get put out, and then I realized there's no, you know.
A cat. Now, this is getting a lot more interesting.
I'm not hallucinating is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Vernon, it keeps changing.
Oh, is that right, doctor? Are you trying to lay some psychiatrist deal on me?
I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm an astronomer. I just said that when you say you saw a cat put out...
I'm saying, Phil, you know what I mean. When you are used to seeing certain things, then your mind fills in.
Well, your mind was filling in first the garage door closing, a porch light coming on, and that now your mind's got a cat being put out.
And I know it wasn't a cat because lizards don't own cats.
I should say they don't. And there's no cat small enough for a lizard to own, because cats eat lizards.
Right, and I didn't hallucinate.
All right, let's start in with our debate. Ron, you go ahead, and then Vernon, you have requested the follow-up.
Yes, I have, because I feel following up I'll be able to, nail his points.
Apparently you've never done the baby talk.
I'm sorry?
Apparently you've never been involved in the baby talk debate.
A baby talks about, what's he talking about?
Well, he's going to use a technique of debating.
He's going to use a technique of debating. I don't know what he's talking about.
Right. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the case for global warming or global climate change has been well established, and the case for global climate change is as follows. The temperature, the mean temperature here in the world has gone up since the 30s, We also know that polar ice is melting at a record clip. We are seeing, by taking ice samples, that we are having warmer and warmer temperatures. And finally, a polar bear was spotted swimming 50 miles from shore. Now you've heard it.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Turner. Well, I think what you just said is wrong. A couple of reasons. Number one, a polar bear swimming 50 miles from home. Don't you think polar bears know how to swim 50 miles?
What about the thing right there?
What in the hell was that?
That's the baby talk.
What the hell was that?
Not the robot.
Just keep going.
As I was saying, that sounds real scary, man, whatever you're doing. Okay, what?
That's his technique. Just keep going.
His technique. All right. Then I'm going to use my technique. You know what I think, sir? I think you talk that way because you got taken off of your mama's nipple too soon. Yeah, see? I think you got taken off of your mama. Maybe you got to have your daddy. What do you think about that? What a moron. Can somebody please call this guy's mommy? And find out what it is that he's saying so we can interpret, okay? Oh, baby. Okay, somebody get me a direct line to this guy's daddy. and we can figure out what it is he's saying, okay? Because until then, I am at a loss. Get the guys. Hey, what's his name? His name is...
Dr. Ron Turner.
Yeah, Dr. Turner. Could we get Mrs. Turner? Could we get...
Mama!
Turner? Could...
Mama!
Turner, call up, please. Do they have a walk me, talk me, wet me, Mrs. Turner, where you just push a button and she goes...
Vernon.
Huh? Oh, that's my name. How about this?
Mama.
That's what I think's going on.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, you're cuckoo, all right. You're about as cuckoo as three coats of paint, man. You are a mental midget. You are a mental midget. And why? Because you're...
Mommy!
Took you off the nipple too soon.
All right, let's take a break here, gentlemen, okay?
How do you think we did?
I think it's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
Well, now hold your horses, Mr. Henry.
No. I mean, I'm not trying to say that you guys don't know your stuff, but you spent the last 5 minutes, or whatever it was, just making baby noises.
That's exactly right, yes. And that's, see, I'm using your mama technique, you know. And I'm nailing him, I think.
What are you guys, are you talking about global climate change?
We're talking, yes, Mr. Henry, we're talking about global climate change. And my baby talk shows him up as the nervous Nelly type that he is.
No, it doesn't. Because what I'm, you see, what you're doing, if I may, Dr. Turner.
Go right ahead.
You're talking baby. You sound like some kind of a blithering idiot. Meanwhile, when I go, I'm saying something the audience wants me to say, which is, where's your...
Mommy!
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, so you're going to try it? No.
That's what I think.
Well, all right, let me look at this. If you're talking strictly about the techniques that you guys employ in debating, I would say that I would think Vernon is right, Dr. Turner. He's articulating something as opposed to you just babbling baby.
I'm not babbling baby. You got to understand, those are very specific burps and semi-vomits. There's a lot that goes into the baby. Boy, I'm angry.
Why are you angry?
Because I don't feel I'm getting a fair assessment of this.
Well, maybe we should get on the phone and call up your
daddy.
You know, okay, so you think you're scoring points with that? Is that what you're thinking? You're thinking you're scoring points with that?
Oh, I just think what we should do is call your
daddy.
And find out if your
mommy
is home, okay?
Yeah, how does that feel?
All right, you guys sound like idiots, okay?
I knew you were going to say that, Phil. I knew you were going to... I told Vernon Dozier this morning, I called him up at his house. Didn't I call you up?
Yes, you did. I was having ham and eggs.
And I interrupted his back. I said, you watch. Henry is going to say that we're insane.
Well, who would not say that you're insane? You guys haven't given us one solid point about global warming. All I'm hearing is you guys trying to outdo each other with baby talk.
I don't do baby talk. I told you I don't do that. I don't play that, okay? He plays that. I don't play that baby talk.
No, you don't play that baby talk. You just think the guy ought to call up his mama, whatever it is you're doing.
Okay, now just don't rain on my parade, okay?
Phil, it is obvious to me that Vernon Dozier, while a great educator, is a man who can't do anything more than make fun of my parents. And I think it's dirty pool for a guy to make fun of a man's mother and father.
I think it's dirty pool for a guy to think he can shake me with baby talk. Are you kidding, buddy? I have been down the road, okay? I have had busted beer bottles held to my throat. I've had a pistol stuck to my stomach. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been thrown out of a moving car. Not once, but three times. I've been thrown off a dam. I have been pushed off a cliff. I've been drowned. I've been tied up and thrown into a swimming pool. So you going baby talk... Buddy, that ain't going to throw me off. You kidding? Are you kidding? No way. No way.
All of that stuff happened to you, huh?
Well.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think it did.
Yes, most of it did, all right? I'll tell you one thing right now. A lot of it happened to me, and everything that happened to me is worse than some guy doing what you're doing.
So it was worse than me going,
that's not throwing me off at all.
Well, why don't you make your argument about global warming, and we'll see what we can, what we are able to, assimilate.
All right. Number one, as I tried to say, and you guys will butt in until the cows come home, if a polar bear is able to swim 50 miles, that must mean it has the ability to swim 50 miles. It evolved. It evolved. It's not, that's not blowing me away. It evolved so that it could swim 50 miles. Now, why is a polar bear able to swim 50 miles? Because in the polar bear... in the polar bear experience, the demands have been... I'm going to... Yeah, see what I mean? It doesn't take long. Doesn't take long at all. All you have to do is lay the baby talk. Well, let me find out from your mother if that's true. Are you laughing at me?
I'm laughing at both of you guys. The goofiest thing I ever heard in my life.
All right, so who won the debate?
Neither one of you.
That's bull crap, and you know it.
No, it's not bull crap. Neither one of you, because the better point was made by Vernon, talking about polar bears.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you very much, Mr. Andrew, for being objective. You're telling me that he made the better point about polar bears because he says they can swim 50 miles, so that must mean they evolved to be able to swim 50 miles. Hey, hold on now. You better get your
mama
with a bottle of oxygen for you.
You know, are you over at the hotel right now?
Yeah, why?
How'd you like to have a drink?
You're going to come over here and try and kick my ass.
Well, why don't you give me half a...
Okay, well...
Yep, they hung up.
Okay, so is he going over to kick his ass?
Well, if that's the case, Phil, I think you need to interdict, excuse the word. Wait, why is he...
Ow!
Don't laugh at that, bud.
I think you need to call the hotel.
Oh, he's not. If they're going to have a fist fight, they're going to have a fist fight. I'm not calling the hotel. Who do you think won?
Well, I like the Vernon's. Vernon really got to Dr. Tarner with the whole mama.
Yeah, I think he did too.
Well, I don't agree. I think that Dr. Tarner going, you know, goo goo gaga and everything like that. I think he blew Tarner away.
He blew Tarner away. I don't think either one of those morons made a point that was worth remembering. That's it. It's a draw, in my opinion. And I have the last word. I'm Phil Henry. We'll be right back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. Look at this. Anthony Weiner asks for a second chance. A second chance at doing what? Tweeting his penis again? Anyway, we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
Hey, Phil.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Here's a promo for your show and baby talk.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bad Teacher is coming to CBS. Actress Ari Grainer, was at the TFF Awards, whatever the hell that is, the other night at the 2013 Tribeca Film Festival. And the network announced on Wednesday it's ordered the single-camera comedy Bad Teachers to series. It was a popular film. The show's official description, based on the hit film, the hit feature film Bad Teacher, stars Ari Grainer as an always inappropriate, fearless, and unapologetic former trophy wife who masquerades as a teacher in order to find a new man after her wealthy husband leaves her penniless. Always inappropriate. Is she a high school teacher?
I think so. I don't see what's interesting or funny about this at all.
Now, hold on. Bad Teacher is based on the 2011 film of the same name, starring Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake. News of the show's pickup comes a week after CBS unveiled its new fall schedule. So they unveiled their new fall schedule, and the pickup comes a week later. Now, Grainer had been on Fringe. The cast also includes David Allen Greyer in Living Color, Ryan Hansen from Veronica Mars, Sarah Gilbert from The Talk and Roseanne, and Kristen Davis, Sex and the City. Now, they announced it a week after they unveiled their new fall schedule.
What does that mean?
Well, it sounds to me, and I don't know, I'm not a network guy, but it sounds to me, is this going to be a spring thing or is it for the fall? They got it for the fall. It sounds to me that their fall schedule that they unveiled at what are called the upfronts in New York might not have gotten a whole lot of advertisers all that excited. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean by that, Phil? So they do the upfront.
Yeah, what's an upfront?
The upfronts is when you go to New York and you have your new shows and you go into a beautiful hotel and you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on food and on champagne and all this. And you invite the advertising agencies in, which are all based, the big ones, the important ones, the ones that place the multi-million dollar buys and sometimes, you know, even more than that, are all in New York City. So you say, aha, we're unveiling our fall lineup, our brand new shows, and we invite you, the advertisers, to come in and take a look. We invite the ad agencies, the advertisers, everybody. And you roll out these shows. Sometimes you've got you show them a clip of the show. You bring the cast in. You really do the dog and pony show. And you get them really excited. And the really good salespeople and the good accounts people are going to sign business right there. They say, how about it? Come on. What do you say? We'll lock you up for the fall. Man, I got the rate for you. I got a special price. We'll lock you up. You will, you know, advertise in all of our shows, you know.
So they're drumming up business.
Yeah, they're drumming up business, but more importantly, not more importantly, but more to the question of whether they're going to get business or not. They're showing them what they got. The ad agencies go back to the people they represent and they say, you know, okay, this looks good. You got to buy this show because this show caters to teens, and you know, you may have an advertiser that wants that market. You may have an advertiser that wants men 25-54. Maybe it's a tire company. Well, they got a sports thing here, or they got a man's show here. You know, something like that. Now, what it sounds like to me is that maybe they didn't get all that thrilled by what they saw, so they announced this pickup a week after they unveiled the fall schedule. So are they augmenting the fall schedule with this show? Are they trying to beef it up a little bit?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They start trying to beef it up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if they're trying to beef that up, well, I don't want to say beef up, but...
Well, you guys don't know.
Well, you sound good. You said about the beef up.
Right there. He didn't say the beef up. He said beef it up.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get more interesting for the audience.
Leave that to me, will you, bud? The big beef up.
But what if they call it that?
No, I don't think they call it that. I don't think it's CBS or anywhere else. They're saying, hey, all right, let's put into play the beef up, which means they got to, you know, put a show on there. Oh, man.
Yeah, you're laughing now, but you'll be crying later.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Just sounded good?
Yeah. All right, in other news, laughing now, crying later. If anybody's laughing now and crying later, Jack, it's you.
I'm not laughing.
But you will be crying.
Well, that sounds like a deal for me.
In any event, Jennifer Aniston dresses as a sexy French maid for the special soap opera spoof on Ellen. She had earlier reunited with her Friends co-stars Courtney Cox and Matthew Perry to do a sitcom-style skit on a special edition of the Ellen DeGeneres Show, for which she was co-hosting. But Jennifer Aniston also showed that she can do daytime television just as well as she appeared in a hilarious soap opera spoof alongside Ellen and her wife, Portia de Rossi, later in the show. Dressed in a sexy French maid uniform, she was pawed and basically handled by both women. I'm kidding. No, she didn't. She dressed in a very sexy French maid outfit. The 44-year-old actress played housekeeper Janet in the fun over 4-minute thing. Now, you heard this story the other night that Brad Pitt was saying that his marriage to Jennifer Aniston was a joke and a farce and just a turd.
I heard that. I don't know how any man can come out and say something like that.
I don't know exactly what he said, but, you know, it's a... It's messed up. I don't think it was necessary. I don't know what prompted it either. Her father, by the way, Jennifer Aniston's father, is a man by the name of John Aniston, who is a soap opera legend. The 79-year-old actor, off and on Days of Our Lives since 1985, made a cameo appearance in this spoof.
What's the guy's name?
John Aniston. John Aniston. So he has been on soap operas. That's a world that I don't know. Do you watch those?
I don't have the time.
That's a whole world unto itself, man, soap operas, that with a fan base that's just mental. And I remember when people were coming to work with their television sets and watching soaps. I remember I was working for Westwood One, a radio syndication and production house in Culver City. I was working there as a producer back in the 80s. And I remember walking into the office in the morning, and there was the receptionist, and anybody else that had one of those little miniature televisions, they're watching soap. The soap's got this whole thing happening in the 80s, man. It was like an addiction that it was really, it was huge, you know. And I don't hear people, and I guess it's because everything is now on demand. Everything is Netflix this and on demand that, and you can watch it whenever the hell you want. You can TiVo all this crap, you know.
Well, but they're still very popular. They're still making a lot of money. I have tried to get on the air relentlessly. Waikiki and Me, which is the one that Frank and I wrote.
Waikiki and Me, that's a soap opera?
Yes. And it's about a woman that lives on the beach near the big rock. What's it called?
Diamond Head.
Diamond Head, yes. And so the show opens with... excuse me, I'm just doing the music.
Yeah, go ahead.
It opens up Waikiki and Me, starring Margaret Gray.
It's like the Star Trek theme.
No, it is not.
All right. Stand by, folks. World famous Phil Henry Show will return with scintillating good times just ahead.
That's Star Trek.
No, it isn't, you bent head bastard.
Phil Henry.